Welcome, everyone, to the Grace Hour Show. Just wanted to keep you waiting for a hot second there.
I thought you fell asleep.
No. I was just building dramatic anticipation. Welcome to the Grace Hour Show, a Christian program that takes a dive into our daily challenges, helps us to learn our faith in a practical way. I'm joined here today by the illustrious and magnificent
We're back with the adjectives.
Philippe Siragi. I think I've used both of those before, but I'm just not a thesaurus, so I can't keep doing this.
I'll take the encouragement.
Today we're going to be talking about the difference, or if there's a difference, between these two words, integrity and honesty.
Yes.
And throughout the week, you're going to hear different words being juxtaposed next to each other.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to put these terms up against each other, see if they match, see how they're similar, see how they're different. And maybe I'll just ask that question to get started, and I'm going to just throw Philippe right into the fire.
Under the bus.
And see if the fire touches his clothes or not, like the Hebrew boys. Are integrity and honesty the same thing, Philippe, or are they different, and if so, how?
I don't think they are, but I think I'm going to send it right back at you, because you gave me a very good definition today, and I think, you did.
Really?
So are you saying
my thinking is sometimes sound while I'm here?
It's always sound. So we went from thumb-thumb to
counter-thumb-thumb,
which is the sound of people being thrown under the bus.
Yeah.
Thumb-thumb.
Thumb-thumb-thumb-thumb-thumb. Oh,
right.
Ouch.
Yes, I think they are different. Yes, I do. They are different, but they're very, I think, what's the title of the week, right? Are they like values or like essential values? I don't remember.
Essential oils? No, values. Values. Sorry.
Traditional values.
Traditional values.
So yesterday we had modesty and chastity, and today we're talking integrity and honesty, and then you have kindness and respect. It's funny how sometimes going back to the essentials of Christian life just puts us back to the word. Okay, what does the Bible say? Like, be honest, you know. These are like misused words a lot, and I think we have a chance today to see what the Bible says about it.
Mm-hmm.
And I like how you worded them. Like, so I would like for you to share that.
Oh, man.
Thumb-thumb.
Thumb-thumb. Thumb-thumb-thumb-thumb. Oh, man, that's a heavy bus. Okay, now I know what this feels like. Honesty. Okay, yes. Honesty is living in truth, according to truth.
Yes.
And integrity is sticking to your word, regardless of whether it's according to truth or not. I think that's what I said. You can tell me if I said something different. I'm changing it as I go.
Well,
here.
Integrity, so, I mean, it's always
sticking to your word.
Except,
sticking to your word.
Except the biblical term of integrity would be sticking to your word and this being true also. We could say that way. Like, you have integrity.
Interesting.
Right?
What? I don't know.
Oh, we debated the say press.
That? Hold on.
Well, because he speaks about having a clear conscience in that way. So.
Okay.
Oh, this is...
I can't wait for the verses.
This is the verse debate.
Because I need you to teach me today.
Are we having our first debate?
No, I just need you to teach me. I'm ready to learn. I'm ready to learn.
You wanted to start with Proverbs 20, verse 6 and 7. Do you want to go there?
All right.
Let's go.
Hey, if you're following along, don't mind our shenanigans.
Yes.
Please feel free to chime in.
Yeah,
there's a lot going on this week on the Greater Grace World Outreach Campus.
Yes.
It is pre-convention week,
mm-hmm.
which is just a fancy way of saying lots of people are starting to come in
mm-hmm.
from abroad and be with us. There's sessions happening on campus
right now
as we are speaking. So no one is listening to us except for the 15 that I see here online right now. So thank you. Thank you for following along. If you're following along, feel free to comment in, send us your questions or your comments. Proverbs 20, verse 6 and Proverbs 20, verse 7.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to use both of these to talk about integrity to start out.
Mm-hmm.
Proverbs 20, verse 6. Most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness, but a faithful man who can find. And then, so most of the Proverbs are read separately. These can be read separately. I'm just combining them for right now. The just man walks in his integrity. His children are blessed after him.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so why verse 6, maybe, briefly? A faithful man who can find. Let's see. I think it's in the book of Ezekiel. In the book of Ezekiel, Ezekiel talks about multiple visions that he has, multiple words he receives from God as a prophet. And one of them is who will stand in the gap. One of them is who will stand upon the watchtower and be a watchman for the people of God. And I'd like to equate that to this idea of integrity. Who will stand and be true to God's word. Mm-hmm. Who will stand and be true to God's word? I think that's a fair example of integrity. I think integrity is a little more far-reaching than that. I think it can put people in a negative place sometimes. There's this idea of suretyship in the book of Proverbs, which means like being a backup or having someone rely on you. And sometimes integrity can get you in trouble that way. So I think there can be a negative side, but this positive side of integrity, a faithful man who can find, Ezekiel is saying, I will stand upon my watch. It's either Ezekiel or Habakkuk. It's one of the two. It's in the Old Testament and it's
in the Bible.
It's in the Bible. Okay. Who will stand upon my watch? And then, he goes on in his book talking about the shepherds who were not shepherding the people of God, the false shepherds. And God replacing them with faithful men, with a faithful son, with Jesus Christ.
Yes.
So integrity has this idea of like, okay, who's going to stick true to what they say?
Yes.
Who's going to stick true to the mission statement that they believe in?
Right.
Who's going to follow along, whether it hurts them or helps them, to the betterment? Like Paul says, the more, let's see, I would rather spend and be spent, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, maybe verse 15. I would gladly spend and be spent for you, for the more I love, the less I am loved. That's a man, that's an apostle, that's a person, a pastor over a church, who's walking in integrity, saying, I'm going to do this because it's the right thing for you. I'm not going to do it because it helps me. I'm going to do it because it's the right thing for you. So maybe we can start there.
Yeah.
That's verse 6, but yeah.
No, I think. Yeah, I think it's a great way to say it. Like, so, yeah, so we're saying that they are different words. They look like they are. And then in another way of defining them, I agree with you, like integrity is knowing what the truth is and sticking with it. And then honesty is also realizing that being honest is that we can't always, because even though we have a clear conscience, we'll look at that in a moment, then being honest is also realizing that it requires the Holy Spirit for us to live in integrity. I don't have that in my own making. So I think they work well together in that way. And being honest is also, you know, like, I think sometimes we send people the wrong message by not admitting as leaders that we have, you know, we're sinners. I'm a sinner, you're a sinner, we're all sinners. And we can give the wrong impression that we dealt with those issues in our life. Like, we are saints, you know, we wake up in the morning, we think with God all day long, and we don't have any temptations and all these things. So it's obviously not true. So being honest versus, I don't know if you remember, like a few weeks ago, maybe a month ago, we discussed the difference between being honest or transparent and authentic.
Authentic,
right?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
So what we're saying here is being honest really means that we are saying what the Bible says about us. So yes, I'm a sinner, but I'm also saved by grace.
Yes
I'm a sinner, but there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Yes my brother, you know, failing to sin, but yes, I can also cover his sins with love.
Yeah.
So this is being honest in that way. It's like we're not blind to the issues. We're just like, okay, and having integrity is that despite this fact that we are sticking with truth. And when you look at the dictionary, regular dictionary meaning, they use the word incorruptibility.
Say that
incorruptible,
like incorruptible. Okay, gotcha.
Yeah, say it without the air French accent.
Incorruptibility.
Yeah, whatever he says.
Let's clap it out. Incorruptibility.
Is that a technique?
That's what you do with grade schoolers to teach them. Yes,
well,
syllables and whatnot.
My English is grade 5 level, so
we should clap along. No,
yes,
we're
thank
not.
You.
No, of course
incorruptibility.
Not.
Incorruptibility.
I think you missed two claps.
Oh,
but
it's okay.
It's all good.
Okay,
all
right. Well, hi.
Jay, who's getting a kick out of this? He's like, I haven't done that since Mrs. Wright back in 5th grade.
So that word that we were saying, we're using, no corruption, is also something interesting. That you find that in a secular dictionary, and you find that in the Bible, like Ephesians 4:9, that let no corrupt communication come out of your mouth.
Yeah.
That is also like a part of, for me, it's also a part of integrity.
Okay.
Right?
Very good.
That way. So being faithful will be another one, you know, faithful to your belief, or faithful to the truth, faithful to Christ, faithful to the Word of God. Obedience is also like parts of integrity in that way. And you know, I mean, you know, you have this expression in English, right? This guy or this girl, mostly the guys, we should, is an empty suit.
Empty suit?
Yes, right? Yeah. That is the opposite for me of integrity. There's nothing there. You know, there's absolutely, you could,
like a shell of a man.
Yeah, shell
with,
of a man.
With all sorts of lies and right. deceit on the inside.
Integrity, sure. It can be to your own costs. You asked a question earlier when we were talking. When does integrity turn into stubbornness?
Yeah.
I think that's a very good conversation also.
Mm-hmm.
But before we get there, I think we're realizing that it can look like stubbornness, mm-hmm. but I'm just sticking with what I believe to be true.
Yeah.
And that is a big part of integrity. And that's yes. a big chunk of what we do as Christians, right?
Yeah.
Or what we should do as Christians.
Yeah. One way I like to think about it is integrated. So the word integrated. So integer, math term, integrity, these words are all connected to each other.
Yes.
So if you are in Christ, you can think of that as being integrated
yes.
with Christ.
Yes.
He lives in you. He lives through you. Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, but you're integrated. It's not you. It's mm-hmm. Christ who lives in you.
Mm-hmm.
So that's like one form of integrity or one way we could explain integrity is being filled with the Spirit.
Yes.
Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18.
Yes.
Be filled with the Spirit. Be integrated with the personhood yes. of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And if you are walking in the Spirit, we know this is a great verse. I think you love this verse. Galatians 5, is it 16?
Yes, I love
walk
this verse.
In the Spirit and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh.
Yes.
Why? Because you're integrated
yes.
with the Spirit. You're not integrated with your flesh. You are okay, overall definition for all those words, integer, integrated, integrity, wholeness, completeness. That's how we think about integrity. You
yes.
are whole, you are complete in your thought. You are whole, you are complete in your identity.
Yes.
You are whole, you are complete in your purpose and your conviction.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's interesting because like I'm thinking about this verse, like Proverbs 10:9, it's here in my notes, but whoever walks in integrity walks securely.
Yes.
But he who walks his ways crooked will be found out.
Yeah.
And what's interesting here is like, well, there's a lot to say about what happens to someone with integrity and someone that happens to someone who doesn't. But I like how Proverbs puts an opposite to integrity as a crooked way. And that's another way of defining the word. Like the Bible says, okay, integrity is straight line,
mm-hmm.
and the crooked ways is the opposite of integrity.
Mm-hmm.
So that helps us define what the Bible says about it, right? So,
yeah.
So see, if we walk in integrity, you walk securely. But if you will be found out if your ways are crooked.
Yeah.
And crooked is there's a sense of I'm trying to find the word in English. There's a sense of being how do you say that? Yeah, well, you lack honesty also. Like you
yes.
don't know who you're dealing with.
Yes.
And I think in a way like I think one of the questions is does honesty lead to integrity or vice versa? I think they are both needed at the same time. You know, they just go along. They are not the same thing, but they just go along.
Yeah, very good.
Thank you.
Well, like okay, let's bring that into an illustration found in our Bible, Acts chapter 5. Ananias and Sapphira had no idea who they were dealing with.
Yes.
They, you know, wanted to be part of the group. They wanted to be part of the early church. It was the hip thing. Happening early on, maybe not, but it was like, you know, it was exciting and they wanted to show themselves that they were somehow
yes.
the same mind as these yes. other people, but
yes.
they weren't.
Yes.
They had lies in their heart. They had deceit in their heart. They didn't want to give a certain amount or they wanted to lie about the amount that they
yeah.
gave and saying, oh, this is all we have. And they wanted to keep some for themselves. They didn't know who they were dealing with.
Yes.
They were dealing with the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Men and women of God, when you make manifest, Ephesians chapter 5, this comes out in Ephesians chapter 5, when you make manifest, in other words, when you take actions, when your thoughts turn into words and into actions and you put them out into the world and they are dishonest or they are without integrity, the light reproves them.
Mm-hmm.
The Holy Spirit, the honesty of Christ, the conviction in your heart, the what does it say about David? His heart smote him.
Mm-hmm.
Like the Holy Spirit is who you're dealing with whenever you take this dishonest approach to life. It's not a fruit of the Spirit per se, but let's see. So love, joy, peace, long suffering, faith, temperance. What else? Meekness.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So like all of these,
yes.
all of these are based in having an honest report, yes, or walking in honesty. Yes. So Ananias and Sapphira just do like the exact opposite. Mm-hmm. And they're just, oh, we just want to make it look like we fit in. We want to make it look like we're promoting the right ideas. But in their hearts, they're just living for themselves and defending themselves. And ultimately, it leads to their demise. It's kind of like a crazy story. But that's kind of the opposite. That's, yes, kind of the opposite of what happens whenever you're not living in honesty and integrity.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's like it's the crooked ways that Proverbs 10 is talking about, you know. So that's the, yeah. So I'm seeing something happening over here, yo. So, well, we have Madeline who says hi. Hey, we got
Hey, Madeline.
Yeah, we got Justin Malone from Lithuania.
Yeah.
Yes. Well, yes. Yes, you say we wish you could be there with us, but thank you.
Thank you. We wish you were here.
Yes.
Yes.
Carol asks, she asks a question, you know, and okay, integrity without a divided mind or double-mindedness. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
100%.
100% true. Like being divided is being crooked in that way. Like, well, I mean, let's put it this way also, like as in our flesh, we have, I mean, there is a sense of schizophrenia when you're a Christian because you have two natures. Yeah. So it's not clinical, but it's still an issue. Like my soul clings to the dust in Psalm 119. That means like my natural tendency, default mode, if I don't walk in the spirit, is I walk in the flesh. So and then the things of the spirit and things of the flesh and our enemies, enmities from each other.
Yeah.
So what we're saying here is that when we don't have integrity on honestly, then we have the opposite. We are crooked ways, and that's our natural temperament. And it brings us in these situations sometimes where we don't make, like, just like in 1 King 18, when Elijah asking, you know, the people, you know, how long would you halt between two opinions?
Two opinions, yeah.
And that is exactly the double-mindedness that is taken care of when we walk in integrity. Like, okay, I'm going to make a decision. And I think integrity starts with obedience. Okay, I'm making a decision not to be a good Christian, not to make the right decision, but to lean on the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
And as a side note, this morning was interesting. We had our staff meeting at our church this morning, and Pastor Schaller, you know, said something interesting. Like, we don't have in us the fuel it takes to fill up our mission. And I thought to myself, this is the most interesting how being inadequate for the mission that we call being such an encouragement. Normally, when you're not fit to the task, it's a discouragement.
Mm-hmm.
But in the Christian world, when you're not fit to the task, it is an encouragement because it encourages you to lean on the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
So that idea of being double-minded or have a divided mind, exactly, this is exactly what it is. You know, it's like it's the opposite of integrity. Because I know in my mind, you know, it's like it's my mind is conflicting. My thoughts are not his thoughts, that God says in Isaiah 55. So that conflict here can bring it, double-mindedness, and that's the opposite of integrity. Yeah. Oh, I can live in obedience and let go of my thoughts, have my mind being renewed in Romans 12:2, and then this is the integrity steps in, right?
Yeah. Okay. Here's a math illustration for
math.
It.
Oh, okay.
One is an integer, whole number.
Yes.
Okay. What happens when you turn one into a fraction? What happens when you cut the number one in half? All of a sudden, it's double. It's two. It's half and it's half.
Yes.
Okay, so that's like the double-mindedness. So you're either whole, complete, one person in Christ, or you are Romans chapter 7, Paul, battling with the flesh and also with the Holy Spirit. Galatians 5 say that the two are at war with each other.
Yes.
They are at enmity one with another. They lust after each other. It means they always are going up against what the other one believes or thinks. It's like a boxing match almost in your soul. But Paul says this in verse 22, I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. So our what does it say? We cling to the dust. What does it say in Psalm 119?
Yes, my soul clings to the dust.
My soul clings to the dust, but my spirit
is
100% with God.
Yes.
It's a new heart and a new spirit put inside of you and a new renewed mind, as you were saying in Romans 12:2.
Yes.
So we have this like battle of our old nature with our new nature. So the double-mindedness can always, always, always be defeated by faith.
Yes.
It can always be defeated by trust, yes, or what you were saying, leaning.
Yes.
2 Corinthians 12:9, go back a few verses from the earlier verse I mentioned. God says to Paul, my grace is sufficient for you. In your weakness, mm-hmm, in your infirmity, in your flesh fighting against you or other people or other things, my grace is sufficient to overcome that.
Yes.
So what do? We put faith in that.
Yes. Yeah, like integrity, just like anything, you know, we see in the Bible, is not a fruit of the religious flesh. It's a fruit, yeah, of the Spirit. So, you know, it's interesting when I don't know if you're the same, like in that way, when I hear a message, something that challenges me, I always have two decisions that I could make,
mm-hmm,
three. One, I couldn't care less and just, yeah, move on with my flesh. That sometimes we do because this is our disposition. Or I could decide that something needs to be done about it. And when I make this decision, I have two options possible. I'm going to work on this, or I'm going to ask God to do something in my life.
Okay.
And one is legalism. The other one is understanding the grace gospel.
Yes. Yeah.
Because if I start work on the process, then I'm leaning on myself, mm-hmm, which can lead me in being dishonest, mm-hmm, because I don't realize that I don't have the fuel that it would take to make that transformation.
Yeah.
The renewing of the mind, Romans 12, is not a process that I make on my own. Now, I do have to lean and make a conscious decision to ask in my prayer for the Holy Spirit to do the work that needs to be done. I need to be obedient in whatever it asks me to do. But I don't have to do the work of sanctification in my life.
Yes.
I receive the work of sanctification.
Amen.
So yeah, in that way, having integrity is not something that I work towards.
Mm-hmm.
It's something that I lean toward, mm-hmm, in the Holy Spirit. I'm waiting on God for, yeah, something to happen. That is a very big thing, I think, in our Christian lives, because we can easily turn the spiritual life into a nicely shaped flesh life.
Yeah.
Which is, my flesh now is under control.
Yes.
Right. And then that's not the gospel at all. We are crucified with Christ. Mm-hmm. We're not just made better in, mm-hmm, Christ.
Yeah.
And that is something very important. I think people are excited today on the board. So
yeah, so yes. Aretha wrote in.
Hi, Aretha.
Hey, Aretha. Thanks for your comment. Integrity is upright in your heart,
yes,
and in all your ways. Honesty is truth at all costs. Maybe a verse for that. Psalm 15. Just briefly. Thanks, mm-hmm, for your comment, Aretha. Mm-hmm. Psalm 15. Talking about the truth in your heart, verse 2, he that walks uprightly and works righteousness and speaks the truth in his heart. And then also, verse 4, continues this idea, he that swears to his own hurt,
yes,
and changes not. That's an honest person. That's, mm-hmm, a faithful person.
Yes.
That's someone walking in integrity. Do they both go together, Philippe, integrity and honesty?
Mm-hmm.
Or is it more... you need to rely on one to have the other, or by, you know.
Yeah, that's I think it's a very good question. I think honesty is more like a disposition of the heart to me.
Yeah.
I got to be transparent before God. As we said a few weeks ago, not authentic in a way that I need everybody to know how bad I am.
Yeah.
That doesn't help. And that doesn't help. I know it doesn't help, because it doesn't help when people are way too authentic or transparent, that, you know, whatever word you choose. And it's hard for me to see them in Christ, because, mm-hmm, I know all your trouble. It's one, mm-hmm, thing that I think we struggle with sometimes as leaders, when people confide, you know, in you, and then you have to realize, okay, now I need to see, I'm hearing this because I want to be able to help you. But there's what you would call TMI, too much information.
Sure. Yeah.
I don't need to know all this to be in a position to help you. You know, there's, mm-hmm, we need to be able to, so that false sense of being authentic can put us in a place where we're sharing too much information.
Mm-hmm.
But I think, yes, honesty is a state of heart, maybe a disposition of the heart, where we just, this is what the Bible says, this is a state of affairs, and I'm okay with this.
Yeah.
And I think that will lead us to integrity, rather than the opposite. You know, I think the honesty is the first step. But
yeah,
maybe I could be wrong in that. I'm just like processing these ideas in my mind this way.
Yeah. So, okay, let me see if I can
rephrase that.
So you used Ephesians 4:29 earlier, right?
Yes,
so
I
let's
did.
Let's read that one.
All
Ephesians
right.
4:29. let no corrupt communication is many. Listen to this verse, sir. Ephesians 4:29. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is
or
good
proceed
to the use,
out of your comments.
Or proceed out of your comments, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers.
It's so funny.
Wow.
Yeah.
If you knew anything about, never mind. Okay.
Yeah, let's move on.
Let's no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth.
Out of our mouth.
That either. Which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. So this is in your heart.
Yes.
This is the honesty you want to operate with before God.
Yes.
Okay, I don't want corrupt communication to come out of my mouth. I'm receiving this from God. Verse 30, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. Verse 31, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. So this is in your heart. You're thinking about it. You're wanting to live this way. This is honesty.
Mm-hmm.
But then what comes out of our mouths is gossip, is slander.
Yes.
Is talking about people behind their backs, is making lewd comments online or comments that prove you have no understanding of the person that's speaking or what's going on in the studio.
Random example.
Yeah, random, very random example. So how do you go from, so I want to equate that to, you have the honesty in your heart. How do you go to walking in that integrity? How do you go to walking in that in your daily life? Is it just a matter of pouring the Bible in? Is it a matter of rehearsing it, meditating on it?
Yes.
What, like, how do we get from point A to point B? One other way to describe it. How does David get from I'm going to go cut Saul's robe off to, oh man, I shouldn't touch the Lord's anointed.
Yes.
I think this is really important.
Yeah, and I think in that way, it's like we go back to the end of, you know, like we have these opposite natures, right? Natural nature is I'm making an action and then God strikes me, and that's the work of the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have anything in my natural makeup that will strike me in that way.
Mm-hmm.
Like my flesh will be happy with whatever. If I fit in an environment where I have to pretend I'm religious, I will fit right in. If I can go and get away with murder, I will. That's what my flesh does. So in that way, I think what we need to be realizing is that the only way for me to actually have that striking power is that the Holy Spirit has the room in my life.
Like
if I grieve the Holy Spirit, that's not going to be. If I quench the Holy Spirit, that's going to be a problem.
Yeah.
But if I walk honestly before God and with integrity, and we come back to those two words again, then I can live in obedience in the Holy Spirit, even though my flesh doesn't want, then I get stricken in that way. So we could also oppose like Ephesians 4:29 to Philippians 4:8.
Yes.
Right?
Oh, that's
so
very good. Yeah.
Right. Do you want to read Philippians 4:8 with your Bible?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, let me get there. Oh, man. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things.
Yes. And that brings us into meditation.
Mm-hmm.
So the reason why it's like Paul is not saying in Ephesians 4:29, work toward not saying those things.
Mm-hmm.
They will be uttered if my meditation is according to the flesh.
Yes.
So I do. I mean, I realize sometimes with friends, with my spouse, with people I'm working with, people I'm working for, people who are working for me, regardless what we do all the time, is when my meditation is not on point with Christ, then I have corrupt communication that comes out.
Mm-hmm.
Does that mean I don't have integrity? I just mean that I let my flesh out.
Yes.
And that happens. Now, I don't battle against the flesh, you know, in that way. I just, now I make a conscious decision that I want my mind to be steadfast and to be meditating on the things that are from above, you know, honorable and whatever is pure and whatever is lovely and commendable.
Yeah.
And so I would say that in my life, I want to be able to live in the integrity. I have to let the Holy Spirit do his work in my heart and in my mind. And then we go back to Romans 12:2, then, you know, we have our mind being renewed, you know, in that way. So we are transformed. That's the goal.
Yes.
And how? By the renewing of the mind.
Yeah.
That's what. So renewing of the mind to me, it means simply that I have my thoughts and they are replaced by God's thoughts.
Yes.
And that's it.
Yeah. Ephesians 5 talks about it being called washed in the word. Psalm chapter 1 says the blessed man is the one who meditates in the Bible, in the law, day and night, speaking of the Torah, but just in a more general sense. Like, this keeps you from walking in the counsel of the ungodly, from standing in the way of sinners, from sitting in the seat of the scornful. This keeps you from sitting on your keyboard talking to people online and just making judgmental comments, yes, or coming after them, yes, for some little thing or some big thing in your own mind, yes, which is really not a big deal,
yes,
in most other circles. This is what allows you, the word of God allows you, yes, to free yourself from that. And it's not yourself doing it. It's the Holy Spirit,
yes,
teaching you, speaking to you, making the word come alive, mm-hmm, giving you a rhema, giving you a word in season. Yes. This is like the power of the word.
Yes.
The word can instill integrity and honesty into our lives. Mm-hmm. If we're like, we all know Romans 3, all men are liars. Mm-hmm. All men fall short of the glory of God. Let God be true and every man a liar. We all understand that and know that if we've been around our Bibles for any amount of time or sat under teaching for any amount of time, we have a sin nature. Mm-hmm. But the word is able to, like you said, transform us.
Yes.
It takes us from old man to new man,
yeah,
on a regular basis. Mm-hmm. And if we find ourselves operating in the old man, operating with lies or judgment or deceit or self-exaltation or whatever, then we go back to the word and he throws that away and he gives us like the exact opposite, yes, after his character and nature.
Yes. Yeah. And like meditation, there's a question, you know, so we're going to, you know, the Carol, you know, adding opinions knowledge, that is man's knowledge, is not integrity according to the word, is it? Yes, you're right.
Yeah.
Carol. Mm-hmm. I think sometimes we have this tendency, and that is not integrity. Integrity is the opposite. Like honestly, integrity in the way I look at the verse, man, it strikes me, oh, I'm not comfortable with this. I don't like what it says. It puts me in my place, you know, mm-hmm, and there's a lot of exhortations in the Bible that,
oh,
are,
yeah,
sometimes really strong, yeah, and we're trying to get away with it. Flip the page. And that is us imposing on the word, you know, what, yeah, what is acceptable.
Yeah.
And Paul says, no, this is the least of things, you know, Philippians 4:8. Mm-hmm. So I agree with you, Carol, in that way is, you know, so yes. And well, to answer the question, do I need the Bible to meditate on it? I'm sure what you're saying is you need the physical Bible or you need the actual content of the Bible. Yes, you cannot meditate if you don't have the content of the word.
Yeah.
Now, whether you have a Bible or whether you have verses that you write on the notes, you know, post it in your kitchen, you put it in your fridge, mm-hmm, and then you read that verse for a whole week because you want to meditate on it. That's the one way to do it. If you have an app like I do have on my phone,
yeah,
then you can go, like my apps wakes me up every morning with a verse of the day and I read it. And I go to my devotionals, so that's another way to say it. It's not the, it's
you need
not,
a, you need a humble heart to be able to meditate.
We
on
also
the word.
Need to be yes.
You need a humble heart, and you need to be able to receive and listen and keep your opinions to yourself very often.
Yes,
if you want to be able to receive from the Word of God,
and that is not easy to do
because it goes against our very nature.
Yes,
it goes against our very nature. That's why we look to it. That's why we rely on it. That's yes. why we like are drawn to it. God loves us so much that he draws us to it so that we would be transformed by it.
Yes. Yeah, so honesty is also, like, I'm looking at this verse, like, in Proverbs 12:22.
Yeah.
Like, the Lord detests lying lips.
Yeah.
And that's also another way of defining the opposite of honesty. Like, being honest is, like, not, like, you know, it's interesting. I think one of the weakness, not a weakness, a sickness, I want to say, in Christianity is, and you see that, is you know, like when leaders or pastors or people in general mm-hmm. don't have a repentant heart in the way, you know, and then we try to excuse ourselves. That is one way of lacking honesty, and this is lying lips.
Yeah.
You know, and that becomes an issue. Of course, mm-hmm. we've got to be careful. There's a process in, mm-hmm. in the discipline, but that's not what we're
sure.
talking about. I think the people that we're serving, you know, in our churches or in our ministries, they need to know that we're not perfect. They need to know that we are, you know, we have to go to God. And one thing I really appreciate about the pastor in our church is that he does not preach, you know, he doesn't preach to me. He oftentimes he is going to say something like, oh, well, you know, I need to learn this myself. And that puts me in a place, okay, yes, I know there is no perfection in his life, but I know he loves God. He loves Jesus, and that is encouraging. Okay, well, he's grown from what he was, you know, 50 years, 30, 40 years ago, it doesn't matter. And that, to me, like, this is what, okay, it helps me realize, okay, I can still grow, you know, in my life. And that kind of honesty and integrity just helps us who are on the listening end to actually realize that, yes, I can grow. Also, I can grow in Christ. So I love that.
Nice. Cool.
Yes. And maybe Ephesians 4:25.
Yeah.
Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to your neighbor, for we are all members of one body. And that's also something about honesty.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been thinking about this for myself lately because it's I don't know, it's sometimes, you know, there is air, you know, some between people, you know, and it happens in marriage, it happens in the church, it happens in friendship.
Yeah.
And I'm just wondering, you know, it's like, I'm not the type of to be in like introspective. I actually, in my flesh, I mean, I'm on the other side, which is like, I couldn't care less in one way, which people think, oh, you know, you know, that's a thick skin. And well, it's not the Holy Spirit. So it brings me to other issues, which mm-hmm. is people sometimes think, I don't care, or, you know, whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
And so that's not good, because then you don't show love, and that's another side of the, so mm-hmm. having qualities that sounds like they're spiritual in the flesh is one of the very worst enemies you can have.
Yeah.
You know, so it's, but I'm thinking about, you know, my communication, and sometimes I want to say something, I just wonder my motivation also. And I think it's a big thing, you know, in that way, like to being honest, meaning, okay, being honest is with me and honest with what the Bible says. And maybe sometimes I want to say something because I want to make a point, but then I shouldn't make a point. I just be honest with God, realize, okay, well, maybe I am responsible for this issue in my relationship, in my friendship with people, and I need to take that on, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Couple verses that come to mind. Psalm 51, I think it's verse 6. Let me flip there real quick because I'm in the other verse. I want to talk about Proverbs 11. But Psalm 51 and verse 6 says that God desires truth. This microphone, flipping pages. God desires truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part he shall make you to know wisdom. And then also Proverbs 11 verse 1, the writer says, a false balance is abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is his delight. God is all about leading us into honesty.
Yes.
He's all about leading us into repentance, like you were talking about.
Mm-hmm.
It's funny. We can operate with a hardened heart. Mm-hmm. We can operate with a seared conscience.
Yes.
These are two things the Bible lays out for us and says, hey, be careful of these things. If you think the wrong way for a long enough time, you might get set as a conviction in a thing that is totally unbiblical and totally off from the heart and character and nature of God. But whenever we come back to God's balance, like a just weight is his delight. I like to think about it this way. And you referenced this earlier when you talked about whether it's a work of the flesh or it's a work of grace. A just weight is God sending his son, Jesus Christ, and putting him on the balance to pay for our sin. That's a just weight in God's mind.
Yes.
But all of us, we look at the sin in our lives or the sin in other people's lives, and we think, oh, they got to pay for that. Oh, you know, we got to make amends for that. We got to do this or that thing. And we start to put ourselves in the place of Christ on that balance, and the balance all of a sudden starts to tip the other way, and sin starts to take over
mm-hmm.
again, when it really should be Christ is on the scales, and he tips the balance the whole way down. He takes away all the sin, the whole weight of sin, past, present, future, is on him. And we just kind of make a mockery of it sometimes.
Yes.
But if we're just operating in biblical truth, it's up to Christ. He's done it. He's paid for it. I trust him for that. I'm going to rely on his payment, not my own.
Yes.
I'm going to rely on his work and not anything that I could come up with. There are many devices in a man's heart, but the counsel of the Lord is what stands.
Yes.
Not our own counsels,
yeah.
Not our own ways, not our own plans.
I mean, like, one of the questions we could ask, what are the benefits? You know, you could say, I want to go back to what you're saying between, you know, walking integrity and honesty. Well, there are promises that are attached to it.
Yeah.
Like we read earlier, you know, go back to the verse, the crooked verses, whoever walks in integrity walks securely.
Mm-hmm.
So it goes what we just said, you know, God has promises, you know, that goes with the fact that we're making the right decisions. So lying takes me to, in that list of things that God hates. You know, a lying tongue is something that God finds, yeah. you know, like an abomination. Yeah. yeah, Proverbs 6.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't want that. I want to be honest, you know, and integrity is something that puts my path in this, in this, in this, in a secure way. So, you know, what do we gain? You know, of anything we do in obedience brings a blessing in our life. That's, you know, and sometimes it's not like God, it's not the stick that makes us move, you know, like it's the stick, you know, okay, you try to, like the donkey, you know, you ride a donkey, you have a stick, and then you have the carrot to sort of catch it. And that's not the way of God's heart. God knows what that this is good. This is, you know, he made us a certain way. Just like, you know, I'm not such an handy man, you know, I have to because I have a house, so I got a handyman.
You're not, handyman. Yes, yeah.
I forgot the H. Oh. I'm not a handyman. Like French people, we don't use the H. You see, I just want to say something for Carol. You know, I think I'm trying to remember that you asked me to slow down last year, and I'm not as good as I was last week, but I still remember that. So when I see your name pop up, I'm trying my best, and I'm going to say the H a lot more. So I'm not so much of a handyman. Is that a good pronunciation? Yeah. Or it's too much.
No, it's okay. Good.
Okay. So, but the thing is, I had to change, let's say, you know, like, I had a friend who came, we changed some boards. I mean, he mostly changed the boards, you know, so that were not good on the deck, but I had to finish screwing, you know, like put the screws in.
Mm-hmm.
When you don't use the right head on your, you know, on your drill or whatever, and then you are going to either damage the head or the
screw.
Or the screw.
Yeah.
And it's the same thing. Like, if I do it properly, apply the right pressure, I'm just going to do it. It's going to be so easy. And then on any drill, or, you know, you have like a motor, like you can change the power of the small engine.
Yeah.
So if you do that properly, it goes through like smooth, like butter, it's super easy to do. And I think it's the same. Like, this drill was made to use a certain way with a certain screw with a certain head.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the same with us as Christians. God made us to live a certain way. And then we don't, then we suffer the consequences. Just like I had to go through a couple of heads before I realized, oops, this is not the right one. As I said, I'm not a handyman.
Yeah.
So that's the idea, right? So I think this is what we're talking about here. It's not about, you know, it's not about us making an effort. It's us realizing that God has a will for our lives.
Mm-hmm.
And if we live in obedience and leaning on the Holy Spirit, then, you know, just Galatians 5:16-17 again. You walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So for me, it's a very simple equation.
Love it.
I know you do, because it's the biblical.
John,
handyman.
John 15, verse 5. I am the vine; you are the branches. He that abides in me, and I in him, the same brings forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. Go down to verse 10. And relate this to verse 5 whenever you read this passage. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. So Christ tells us that he's the vine, he's the source, and we are to be focused and integrated into that source.
Yes.
And then when we get to verse 10 and we hear this word keep, if you keep my commandments, we think it becomes about us.
Yes.
But in reality, he's saying, no, be integrated into the source.
Yes.
The way that I have kept my Father's commandments, you will be able to keep the commandments because you are integrated in me. You are following in obedience to me. You are connected to the source of life.
Yes.
That allows you to have the strength to keep anything.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, you cannot keep the commandments if you don't abide. And abiding is not an active thing. It's like if I go home, you know, tonight and I sit in my, you know, in a chair in my house, I'm abiding.
Yeah.
I can be doing nothing. I can be resting. Last night, I slept through the night in my house, which I do most of the nights.
Congratulations. Praise the Lord for
that. You're welcome.
I'm a little jealous.
I don't have children your age.
Yeah.
Not your age, but, you know, your kid's age.
Yeah, I'm a child too. It's okay. It's anyway. Evident after today.
So the point being is abiding is not an active. So it's just a decision.
Yeah.
We abide in the vine and then we keep the commandments. Like, if I walk in the Spirit, so that I do not fulfill the lust of the flesh. It's, I mean, the equation, they call it this way, you know, because you use math in examples. I would just want to use the word equation.
Yeah.
The equation is quite simple. You know, if you lean on the Holy Spirit, then, if you walk in the Spirit, you not fulfill the lust of the flesh. If you abide in him, then you keep his commandments. Mm-hmm. And discernment are not grievous in the First Peter. It's not like we, yeah. God isn't asking us some things we can do.
Yeah.
You know, in the Second Peter 1, he has given us everything that pertains to life and godliness.
Amen.
And so it's quite simple, really. You know, so integrity and honesty are very important parts of our life as Christians, but they're not works that we have to be involved in. We just have to let God do the work in us, and we're on the receiving end. Not the receiving hand. That would be a mistake. All right.
Amen.
Oh my, we passed 20 seconds.
We did it.
All right.
We did it. All right. Well, hey, thank you guys so much for joining us today. Thank you for all the comments today.
Yes.
Don't forget to subscribe to the show on YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and more. Be sure to join us for our next show as we continue on these themes of traditional values and essential values, not oils, that we need in our lives. See ya.
See you guys.